Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
So here we go, Romans 5:3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Here we go. Immutable means it's the, here's the definition, then I'll give you my definition. So the for real definition is this: the quality that renders change or alteration impossible. In other words, not capable or susceptible to change. Our God is immutable because David's definition goes like this: God doesn't change. All right, so that one I can grab a hold of. An immutable God, the immutable God, is the God that doesn't change. So everybody say, God doesn't change.
God doesn't change.
Y'all were a little slow. Everybody try it again. God doesn't change. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand to your feet. Usually about this time, I have you open to correct the right verse, and we stand and we read some verses together. I told you to turn to Exodus 14, but I'm not going to start there. Here's what I want to do, something different than I usually do to start out a sermon. I'm going to read some scriptures that describe the God that doesn't change. And when I say it, I want everybody together to say, God doesn't change. Let's practice. Say it. All right, so you stick with me, and I want you to listen for these verses that describe our changeless God. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Say it, God doesn't change. Listen to Psalm 33:11. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Say it, God doesn't. Yeah, listen to Psalms 102. It says this: of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. They will perish, but you will endure. Say it, God. He goes on to say, yes, they will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will change them. They will be changed. Say it again. Yeah, the last part of this says, but you are the same, and your years have no end. Say it, church. James 1:17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Now listen to this: with whom there is no variation and no shadow of turning. Say it again. That's good. And here's the best one. How many of you are thinking of Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, say it one more time.
God change.
I think you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have already reminded us that you are changeless. There is no variation in you. You are not subject to change your mind. You are not convinced to do otherwise. You've never had to reconsider because you are the God that doesn't change. I thank you that when this world is like shifting sand and my emotions blow me from here to there and I don't know what my mind's going to have me doing in the next moment, that I can lean on the God that does not change. Lord, I ask that tonight you will help me to verbalize the word that you gave me just this very morning. And I ask you to do it this way, Lord, that you would send the one that makes preaching easy. That you would send the one that makes teaching your word effective and easy. So let the Holy Spirit be the preacher tonight, and we'll all sit back and learn a lot from you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the hypothesis. You may be seated. Here's the hypothesis then. I'm going to give you the if-then statement. Tim, I'm going to move your guitar so I don't destroy it. The if-then statement goes kind of like this. If God does not change, all right, and if he is active in this world, and active in the church, and active in your life, then there ought to be some things about God we can become familiar with and begin to rely on. Let me say that again. If God does not change, church, does God change? No. Let's say it differently. Since God doesn't change, and since he is the changeless God that is active here on planet Earth, and within the church, and in your life and mine, since he is changeless and he is active, we ought to be able to look at his habits and his ways and his methods and begin to draw some conclusions about how we can expect him to act. That's not a big step, is it? So this is a very simple sermon, really, if God will help me get it, what's in my head out my mouth without tearing it up. I just want to show you a couple of things from Exodus chapter 14 that I had never seen until, man, just in the last couple of days. And I want to show you some things about God that I believe will not change. They will stay the same. And if we begin to see that and believe that, it will have an effect on our day-to-day life, okay? If you're with me, say amen. If you're not with me, shake your head no. If you don't care, just go. So nobody made that noise. That's good. Where did I put my water? All right, so right over there talking with the person beside her is my wife. That's Miss Jennifer. She is my favorite wife. She is my only wife. And I don't have any plans for any others. In just about a month and a half, we will have been married 16 years, which is interesting because we celebrated our 15th year for 2 years in a row. The reason why that happened is because I thought that 2 years ago was our 15th year. The only thing that saved me was so did she. So I got out of that one. Praise the Lord. So we celebrated 15 twice. It was the best year of our marriage. It really is. It's gotten better and better. So this will be 16 coming up. And after 16 years, some of you are in here been married a lot longer than that. Jackie, y'all just hold on. It's coming, right? After 16 years, there's some things about her I'm starting to figure out. Starting to. Amen. Starting to get a hold of a couple of things, right? I'm better at it than I used to be. And so there's some things that I learn now that annoy her and that will aggravate her. At the beginning, I didn't realize what they were. I just knew it was happening. Down through the years, I'm beginning to understand why she gets annoyed, and now it's even more fun. See, I know where her buttons are, and like the preacher said one time, and I've pushed them so many times, the paint's worn off of them. Amen. But there's things about her that I'm beginning to get used to and expect. This is kind of a silly one, but one of the things that I love about my wife, every night, she's going to come to bed with a lot of clothes on. She's going to get under the covers, and she's going to start for about 60 seconds shivering like a leaf on a tree. I'm going to look over there. There's going to be one eye poking out of covers, and her teeth are going to be rattling like she's biting on a power saw or something. And she's going to say the same thing every time. She's going to say, it's freezing in here. It can be 68 or 86. It doesn't matter. She's freezing when she gets under the covers. And I'm going to tell you something. I look forward to that at night. Not that she's freezing, but there's just something about that that I've gotten used to and I expect. And if she ever did climb under the covers and didn't do that, Roger, I'd probably reach over there to see if she had a fever. But I've just come to know some things about her. Now, she's a human being, very special one, quite near perfect, but she's still human. And every once in a while, she throws me a curveball that I wasn't expecting. And what I thought was going to happen won't happen. And I'll get a little bit confused. I'll think, man, I thought I had that figured out. What just happened? I don't know. Here's what I know. She's a woman. That's just going to be that way sometimes. And I'm a man, and I do the same things too. But here's what I do know about my God. When I get to know Him more and more, better and better, deeper and deeper, and I begin to see those things about my God that become repetitive and that I begin to kind of lean on a little bit and put expectation in, you know what I find about Him? Never one time have I gone to lean on Him at a place where I knew He'd be standing and find that He's moved and I fall down. My God doesn't change. He's always the same. And I find comfort in understanding my God on that level. Exodus chapter 14. I want to show you two things very quickly, hopefully, that I believe are things that are not going to change when it comes to our God. Looking at some very, man, this is probably the most familiar, most worldwide, well-known story of the Old Testament. This is the chapter about the parting of the Red Sea. We're probably not even going to talk about the parting of the Red Sea. I want to talk about some other stuff that God just really opened my eyes to. And everybody else in here probably knew this stuff already, but it was the first time the Holy Spirit ever showed me a couple of verses in the way that He has. And so if this was new for me, maybe me and a couple other folks will be on the same page with this. But let me show you some immutable things about our Lord. Verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Stop. Watch this, because I missed it for about 39 years. God spoke to Moses, and He told Moses, what I'm about to tell you, I want you to tell who? Okay, the children of Israel. So, for some reason, my brain never got past God talked to Moses. I always thought this was a conversation between He and Moses, but it wasn't. Moses was the conduit to tell the following information to the children of Israel, and we know that he does. Let's read it again. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. Verse 3 is a continuation of the same instruction that Moses was to give to the children of Israel when he says, God tells Moses, tell the children, verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. All of my life, I missed something right there. This is really, I mean, don't nobody get mad and say that can't be a real preacher if he hadn't figured this out till now. But for the first time, I realized God gave Moses a lot of information. The children of Israel knew where to camp and what God was about to do. You see, I always skip from God tell Moses, go camp bound by the sea, and then the Egypt shows up and everybody freaks out. I'm just trying to get to the water part, honey. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good stuff in here. And there's some stuff about God that I realized for the first time this week. And in this is one example of this. But God is telling them that there's a big change coming. Get ready. because I'm about to do something. I'm going to confuse Pharaoh's thinking and put thoughts in his head. I'm going to make him think that you guys are confused, wandering around, and are now lodged against the sea. They weren't bewildered by the wilderness. That's just what Pharaoh thought. You know how I know that? There's been a big pillar of cloud leading them the whole way. They've been following God since they left Egypt. They know exactly where they are. They're not lost. They're not confused. But God said, now I'm going to tell Pharaoh that you are. And then tell the children, I'm going to get him upset and hardened in his heart, lead his mind to the point that he's going to get all the horses and all the chariots and all the king's men. They're going to load up the bows, the arrows, and the spears, and they're coming to get you. Let the children know, go camp by the sea, and I'm sending Pharaoh to pursue you. There's a big change coming. Our God is immutable. And let me tell you one lesson that we would do good to learn. God loves and often sends big change into the lives of his people. 2 days ago, I was sitting on a park bench at Lake Wright Patman early in the morning just spending time with Jesus and reading a book by Chuck Swindoll. Listen to this, man. I read this one line. I got a little bit. Just, it was a God moment, and here's what Chuck Swindoll said. God often does his best work in us when he introduces a change that is completely against our desire. Well, that kind of stinks. And that's amazingly true. God does his best work in us when he introduces a change that is completely against. How many of you can look back in your past and say the biggest moments of change in my life came with the crossroads that I neither expected nor even wanted? Anybody ever had those moments? Anybody had those moments where you look back and say, if it weren't for that moment, there's no way I'd be who I am today. I praise God for it, and I don't ever want to do that again. Listen to me now. Here's the next part of this immutable fact about God. He loves sending these type of moments into the lives of his people because he knows that I'm a knucklehead and it takes a bing up against my head to get me to pay attention and listen sometimes. He sends major change, overwhelming circumstances, difficulties that we don't know what to do with. And here's one thing that I know is true. God will, he will, everybody say he will, put more on you than you can bear. How many of you have said that to somebody before? God will never put more on you than you can bear. Where's that in the Bible? Ask Paul about that one. You hear me? Ask Peter if God will put more on you than you can handle on your own. Yes, he does. And I'm as guilty as the next person of thinking that I was counseling somebody and letting them know, honey, just remember, God will never put more on you than you can bear. Well, that's funny because I feel like I'm drowning. I don't know what to do. I remember when Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, about the trouble that came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, to the point that we even had the sentence of death on us. That sounds like something that's above what he could bear. You remember that? He goes on to say, so that we would not look to ourselves but to the one that can raise the dead. Here's what we got to understand. God will put more on us than we can bear. He will, because he loves us so much, send difficulties into our life that we weren't expecting, that we surely don't desire, and he'll do it so that change can come. Just a few chapters before this in Exodus 14, the children of Israel are sitting in the land of plenty, and I'm not talking about Canaan. They were in a place called Goshen. Goshen is Israel's fertile valley. Pharaoh had given it to Joseph for his daddy and brothers and all of their kin and their livestock to live in, and it was the best land Egypt had to offer. Their crops flourished, their livestock flourished, and they, the people, flourished for generations. Everything was expanding in Goshen. And you know what God knew? It's a nice place, but I want you in the promised land. And if Pharaoh had knocked on their door and said, hey, by the way, I know you got it good here and you're living here and all, but you know, I think it would be better if you would go out into the wilderness and wander around until you find the promised land. How many Israelites would have volunteered for that? None. They would have sat in Goshen where things were working. And God knew this is not your destiny. I want you over there. So what did he do? He had to turn up the heat a little bit. He had to start cooking things in Goshen. So they became enslaved to the Pharaoh who forgot Joseph. And then when Moses shows up, Pharaoh increases their workload. He burdened them. He brought change in Happy Valley to the point that when Pharaoh finally opened the doors, they walked out into the wilderness dancing and shouting for the change. An unknown author said this. I love this. Listen to these words. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man so that all the world might be amazed, watch his methods. Watch his ways. Now listen to the words. How he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects. How he hammers and he hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay that only God can understand while his tortured heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands. How he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses and with mighty acts induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. Think about it. We talk about the Christian life as being a walk where we have to learn to die to ourselves. Well, I'm an RN, and I can tell you this. When body parts die, it's painful. It's a painful process. When the surgeon has to go out and remove a dysfunctioning part of your body or something that's growing there that shouldn't be there, the result is a recovery time that's painful. Change is painful. But God knows change is necessary, so God will send change. And I love that he told them change is coming. This is what's about to happen. I'm changing Pharaoh's heart. He's coming to pursue you. He let him know that God is, he said, I'm sending him. Don't you wish God would let us know that change is coming? I'm telling you something. Guys, he's an unchanging God. And over in his word, he's let us know hard times are coming. So here we go. Romans 5:3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. That's pretty blunt right there. James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing that these testing of your faith produces patience. 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have to be grieved by various trials. John 16:33, Jesus himself said, I speak these things that you might have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. You know what all those verses say? God is letting us know, just like he let the children of Israel know. Hard times are coming. Change is coming. The God that does not change has declared it. Now, there's one of two ways we can take that. We can say, boo! Boo on you, God, for drawing us into this. You didn't tell me all that when I got saved. It was all about forgiveness of sin and happy, happy, joy, joy. We got to start telling some folks the real story. You're entering a war when you step inside the king's army. This is a battle now. Praise God, the battle's won. But there's still some fighting to be done. There's still some ground to be annexed. There's an enemy out there that hates your guts and a world that hates you. Jesus said, they hate me, they're going to hate you. So welcome to the game. You can't get in a fight and not expect to get hit from time to time. difficult times are coming. So you can look at it one of two ways. You can say, boo, I don't like it. Or you can say, thank you, God, for making us aware, for having the love and the care for us to show me. See, I'm not those preachers that are trying to let you know that, hey, it's just all happiness and joy and roses. You send the right amount of money and you're happy and healthy and wise and everything's, you know, wonderful. That's a bunch of, you know, hey, in Hallsville we called it bunk. The Greek word is baloney. God that does not change has let us know. Hard times are coming. Okay, second thing is this. Look in verse 14, or chapter 14, look at verse 4 again. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. Here we go. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all of his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And the last of that verse says, and they did so. And what does that mean? They went on and camped down by the sea, knowing everything that God had just told them. What did he say? Go camp by the sea. I'm sending Pharaoh after you. He's going to pursue you. And here's why. I'm about to smoke them. I'm about to mow them down like a craftsman, honey. It's going down by the sea. And I'm, you know what? When you go hunting for rats, you need some cheese. And God said, I love you, my children. I'm about to use you as bait. And I'm fixing to smoke those Egyptians. You hear that in that story right there? That's what he told them. Yes, you're going down there. Yes, the greatest army on the face of the earth is coming. And when they get there, I'm about to flex, and it ain't going to be pretty for Pharaoh. Hey, here's the second thing about an immutable God I want you to know. God's got a plan. How many of you 80s babies watch the A-Team? Hey, Hannibal Smith was a bad man. What did he always let them know? I love it when a plan comes together. God has a plan.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.